Linda Ross, and welcome to the Garden Clinic Digs Deeper podcast, where we go right around Australia chatting to gardeners, garden designers, and plant lovers. Thank you for joining me. I've got a little garden at Lake Macquarie where I grow a lot of different wildflowers, some beautiful perennial plants right at the edge of the national park. I absolutely love my gardening. Lately, I've been really getting into indoor plants. All my wonderful anthuriums and philodendrons and all my ficus and so forth. And I've really loved adding plenty of indoor plants into my place inside, in the rooms, bedrooms, bathrooms, and of course in the kitchen. I do have a rather lovely light morning sun bench that's just perfect for a few little plants that I'm talking about today. You see, the African violet's one of the only plants that actually flowers indoors. So I've got plenty of great leaf growth, but I want a few little flowers there as well. So I've really started to enjoy my African violet. The African violets are in a big group of gesneriates. This includes plants like gloxinias, Streptocarpus, the goldfish plant. There's lots and lots of plants in this group, but I'm particularly starting with the African violets. Super pretty, love that morning sun position, but of course there's a few tricks of the trade to get them flowering. And that's why I've called my brains trust my beautiful friend Beverly Donsworth, who has done some travelling with me. We've travelled to Italy and Japan together with her beautiful husband Rog. She's the president of the African Violet Association. So it's a real pleasure for me to have her on my podcast.
The best garden in the street. Don't forget the sea salt.
Tell everyone you meet.
Don't forget the sea salt.
Have a listen to your garden today. If plants could talk, this is what they'd say. Hey, Mum.
Don't forget the sea salt.
Hey, Dad.
Don't forget the sea salt.
Hey, you.
Don't forget the sea salt.
Everybody.
Don't forget the sea salt.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to have you with me, Beverly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda.
Now, you are the president of the African Violet Association.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you've been growing African violets for
about 40 years.
So I do have the expert with me. So African violets are just one of those types of plants that really hook you in, I think, with their really pretty little simple flowers and their incredibly velvety leaves. They do remind me so much of my grandmother. But I think when you get a little bit older, they're spectacular indoor plants. They're so pretty. And really, I think as the indoor plant craze builds, they're really the only indoor plant that actually flowers.
They are, and they can flower all the year round given the right conditions. If they've got enough light and warmth and a little bit of fertiliser, they can flower all the year round.
Oh, well, we're going to get to that because mine are certainly not. Selfish interview. All right, so you've been growing African violets for so long. They are tiny little plants, aren't they, really? They're really only about 12 inches in width. And they usually do have the blue and violet and white colorations, and I suppose into the pinks as well, do they?
Well, it's interesting that you should mention blue, because when they were found in about 1892, I mean, they were probably around a long while before that, but they were actually found, they were just blue, little single five-petaled violet-like flowers, and they were found in Tanzania, which is in the centre of Africa, semi-tropical, so they suit us here quite well, but they were only little single five petals, and the fellow who found them was Baron Walter von St. Paul, and they've been called St. Paulia after him. He sent, we don't know whether it was seeds or cuttings or whatever in those days, back to his father in Germany, and they named them St. Paulia. And then very soon the seeds spread to England and America. And it wasn't until about 1939 that the first white one appeared. they were blue prior to that. So it's amazing. Genetics, I love genetics. There's so much, so interesting. And then a few years later, a pink one appeared. And then in the 60s, there was some variegated leaves appeared. So all of these things, they're called spores, but they just mutate. And so it's really, really interesting to see how they have developed.
I had no idea. I would have just thought that range was a natural range that they had.
So now, look, we've got every colour of the rainbow just about. Yellows are sort of coming in. They did say there was no yellow material in their genetic makeup, but somehow some people have managed to get a little bit of creamy yellow. And so that is appearing, but every colour, and also they're bicolours. They're, you know, blue with white edges, red with stripes, and pink with purple dashes.
And a lot of sort of pinking shears or frills and little waves as well.
Frills and waves and all sorts of colours. And I think that's the excitement of it. Here in Australia, we used to import, and it's becoming very expensive to import anything. It has to go into quarantine for 3 months, cost a fortune. So a lot of people have been hybridising here. And we've got some wonderful colours. And some people are clever enough to say, well, I've got a blue one and I've got a red one. I'm going to see if I can get a blue one with red spots on it or something like that.
And they just cross the pollen?
Just pollinate them, put the pollen from one onto the little pistil of the other one, and away you go.
Well, I'd love this. You just delve into the little world of African violets and you realise how deep and interesting the world is. That's what I love about plants.
Yes. But there's so many different colours now that I think that the sky is the limit.
Well, I have reached 100 indoor plants. I know I'm slightly addicted, but I love them. And they are subtropical and some of them are now tropical. And most of them have just grown for the green leaves, lovely heart-shaped leaves and things like that. But just recently I've been adding African violets into the mix and the children absolutely love them. Mm. And I've got a pure, lovely pure white one. There's some lovely variegated leaf forms, as you mentioned. And there's some lovely pinky kind of leaf forms too. There's a miniature one too, incy, wincy, tiny little African violet with very, very small leaves and flowers. So there, this whole plethora of forms and colours and does keep everybody interested, and I suppose it just keeps you interested and collecting them as well.
That's right.
How many do you have?
I've probably got 100.
In our I don't feel so bad.
In our tiny little unit.
Okay, so just give me a picture, paint me a picture of where you have them in your unit.
Well, I'm really cheating because we didn't really have a windowsill that was suitable. In the southern hemisphere, they say a north or an east window is great, a little bit, you know, a metre in from the window so that they don't get direct sun. Well, we don't have that. I've got fluorescent lighting, and so I've got stands with three tiers and the fluorescent lighting. They're on about 8 hours a day, which when we get closer to showtime, it goes up to 14 hours, so you've got a full head of flowers at the right time.
Showtime. So every stand or every shelf has its own light?
Two sets of fluorescent lights.
Okay.
Yes.
And so they're on a timer, obviously.
They're on a timer, yes.
Okay, so that's a really fun way of growing them. I love plants on shelves like that. I just think it's so exciting. All right, and what kind of pots? Because I know that there are proper African violet pots. Mm-hmm. Do you recommend those?
Yes, I'm not all that keen on the ceramic ones that have
the kind of an
unglazed
water.
Bottom. You've got to have the right sort of potting mix for that. If you have a heavy potting mix, it will draw up too much water. And that was the other thing I was going to say about the position near a window, if you haven't got a light stand, near a window. And if you give it a little quarter of a turn, say once a week, it'll keep it growing flat and not up. Otherwise, it's going to grow towards the light. They only have a small root system. So if you put it in a big pot, you're going to have a small root system in a lot of wet soil, and that's a good recipe for root rot.
So really keeping the pot small.
Keeping the pot small.
Which I like.
4 inches, 100 millimetre pot is a maximum size for a fully mature plant. We start off with just the little tiny 55 millimetre pots for little plantlets as we grow them from a leaf cutting, and then gradually as they get a bit bigger, increase the size of the pot. But usually I look and see if there's some roots coming out the bottom, and then it's time to go on to the next size pot.
Okay, so let's talk potting mix first, yes. because that's mm-hmm. essential, isn't it? I imagine mm-hmm. It looks a peaty mix to me. What is it? Look, well, I suppose you can just get African violet mix these days.
You can buy African violet mix, which is, can I talk about watering?
Because please.
If you use the African violet potting mix that you can buy in the nurseries, it's not suitable for wick watering, which I'd like to go into depth about. You would water maybe once a week in winter, twice a week in summer. The finger test is the best for that. Water from the top, or lift a leaf and pour on the water.
So water from a top. This is really important
Or in a saucer. But after half an hour, whatever's left in the saucer, tip out. Don't let it stay there.
I think that's really important. They cannot have wet feet.
They didn't grow in a swamp.
No.
They grew on the forest floor or in cliffs, and they were well drained.
Did they? In Tanzania. Yeah. It's so exciting to think where they came from.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Well, it is really. And it's lovely to think, though, that all the... It's only, 120, 30 years.
Not long.
And all this has happened. It is exciting, as you say.
Human-made, cultivars have created. Yeah, it's obviously a very interesting, family. Lovely sort of velvety but quite hairy leaves, isn't it?
They don't like to be wet. They've got a lot of little hairs on their leaves. Getting back to the potting mix, the commercial potting mixes are fine if you're going to lift the leaf and water from the top. And incidentally, it's really an old wives' tale to say don't get the water on the leaves.
That was my question, yeah?
Simply because if the sun hits it, it'll probably burn a hole in it. But after all, in the wild, they were rained on.
Exactly.
So it's only if you're going to put them in the sun. So they really were only in semi-shade in the wild. They weren't in bright sunlight, so the sun probably didn't hit them all that much. But anyhow, it's quite easy just to put a tissue on them and dry it if you do. But watering from the top, I think then you know it's going to get around the plant, whereas if you just water from the bottom, it mightn't sort of take it all up. But half an hour and tip out what's left in the bottom. Now that's fine if you're using that sort of system, but the wicking system is something that I find really fantastic.
Tell us a little bit about the wicking system for those who might not have seen it.
To start with, the potting mix has to be a much lighter potting mix. If you buy a commercial mix, you've got to add a lot of perlite or something light to loosen it up, because a wick will draw up too much water. Now, a wick must be synthetic, either some macrame cord or nylon Venetian blind cord, or a piece of pantyhose cut across the leg is excellent.
Oh, good tip.
Excellent. As someone said to me once, who wears pantyhose these days? Well, somebody does. However, a wick, and I put it up through the hole in the bottom. I put a little bit of potting mix in the bottom and then drop the wick over the top of that and then plant the mix on top of that. The wick should be wet to start with. The potting mix should be damp so that it's ready to go straight away. And then you put it on a little reservoir, of little Chinese takeaway or these special pots that we have these days that you can put your fertiliser solution in the bottom.
Yep.
And the wick goes down into that. The pot sits on the top and does not get wet.
Oh, wow.
So that's the important thing. It mustn't be sitting in water.
So let me just... You've brought this gorgeous sort of lovely violet, African violet. Does it have a name, this one?
Picasso.
Okay, so your wick, I can see. I've lifted it up out of its decorative pot with... the decorative pot has no holes. The wick is through the central drainage hole of
that's
the pot.
Right, yes.
And it's a piece of...
It's a macrame cord.
Easy. And it's about... 4 inches long, would you
say?
Well,
as long as it goes down into the water.
Yep.
Or you can use a Chinese takeaway container with a hole in the lid, sitting them on like that. That's quite
adequate. Oh,
okay,
so
too.
Just pop it in there. And so it's wet, it all does look nice and moist. And how long, so it's 4 inches out, but how long does it go up? So does it go up and over or up
in? I put about an inch of potting mix.
So it goes up about an inch.
And then I drop it over the top. Now, some people just tie a little knot in it and let it through a little bit. It seems to work. There's 100 different ways you could probably do it, but I like to do it that way.
So this is the wicking system, and I think this is a system that has been used for a while and up to good success. And I think that it just helps the transfer of water, but not too much and drown them.
The beauty of the wicking system is, if you want to go away on holidays, you can just use an ice cream container with a hole in the lid and pop your little plant into that, and you can go away for a month.
So what we're saying with this wicking system, the actual pot that the African violet in is not in the water.
That's right.
All.
Must not be
so
in the water.
So it must not ever be in the water. No. So it's never sitting in water, it's never in water. The wick is what the transferring the water from the water reservoir into the pot, and there's got to be space between them.
But now, to have this, you must have a very light, open potting mix. Because
so like an African violet mix with maybe 25% perlite?
Or more, probably. 50? Possibly 50%.
Yeah. Depending, I find perlite such a good one for indoor plants anyway, so it's one of those ingredients
I
like.
How heavy the potting mix is, you really need to lighten it up so that it won't be too soggy.
So it absorbs, but then it drains quickly, so it doesn't stay wet. Okay, that's really good. I think this is a very good system. I might employ this for mine. All right, because what I feel like also, so you say wet water once a week.
If you're not using the wicking system.
But in the wicking system, you can have the water reservoir there just ready to go.
You just replace it when
that's
empty.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
So when you're away.
When you're away.
Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do that straight away this weekend. That's so exciting.
This, garden lovers, is the sound of bigger, more colourful roses blooming in your garden after a healthy diet of Richgrow's Black Marvel Rose Food. Black Marvel's scientifically advanced formula contains fast-acting potash and iron to transform your rose garden into a symphony of colour.
The one that you've brought in is just so pretty because it's got that lovely sort of variegation on the leaf in the centre, and the leaves radiate in a beautifully symmetrical pattern.
They do.
And the flowers are a large size for Picasso.
They're fairly large. Medium, really. There's some really, really big ones coming out now, and sometimes they get a bit top-heavy when they're too big. But anyway, I like this size one. It's good.
And so when the flower inflorescence, because each stem would have, maybe 10 or 12 flowers each one, and once they've all finished, you just sort of pinch them off?
Take off the dead flowers, and when they're finished, just take off that stalk. And if you get a brown leaf or something, a leaf dies, just take it off. It makes the plant look so much nicer when it hasn't got anything dead looking on it.
I agree. And okay, so let's say we've got a good watering system, the wicks are going in, the plant is healthy, turgid and happy, you've got the lovely plump leaves, glossy and all that. Mine, the one that I bought, pure white, sweet little thing, so cute. It had better than a bunch of flowers because it would have lasted 4 months. Those flowers have lasted, and so now they've all gone, and obviously I would like it to reflower. I'll put the wicking system in this weekend, so I'll get that. So
we'll make sure that the potting mix is
light. I'll put a little bit of perlite.
Yes, yes.
And how am I going to encourage my lovely little white frilly thing to reflower?
Well, now, we need food to survive.
Yeah,
they
forgot
need
about
food.
That.
They need fertilizer. And when plants are very small, I like to give them something like Aquasol or Thrive, to high in nitrogen to give them a big boost and get going. And then when you want them to flower, something that's higher in phosphorus and potassium are the things to do. Now, just when you're wick watering, though, you must only use quarter strength because it's continuous feed. It's there all the time. Whereas if you were top watering, you might only fertilise them once a month. So you must only have a very weak fertiliser.
Okay, so quarter strength liquid feed if you're wick watering.
If you're wick watering.
Which I think everybody should do, because why wouldn't
Well, it
you?
Is, because if they are over-fertilised, where you will notice it is right in the little centre leaves, you'll get little orangey-brown crystals, and that's the excess fertiliser.
Oh,
and sometimes you can get it off with a wet brush, but sometimes it's burnt the leaf.
Okay, so back in the olden days, we used to use the Kenrose purple fertiliser. Mm-hmm. Is that still the case, or we can really use any of the liquid feeds?
You could use any of the liquid feeds, but our African Violet Association has put out a liquid fertiliser, and
that's good.
Excellent.
Oh, wow. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, I might come along to a meeting. all right, so let's talk now, once we've got this lovely little thing reflowering and everything's great. Does it make pups itself, or if you want to make a new plant, do you need to do a leaf cutting?
No, well, there's some things called side shoots.
Yep.
That's a flower stem. If you lift up a leaf and you see something with a flower bud on it, that's a flower stalk coming up. If you lift one up, and this one won't have them because I've removed them, a little side shoot,
yep.
Four little leaves and no flower bud in the centre, that is a side shoot. And that's the plant trying to make itself another one.
Yep.
If you want to do it that way, that's fine. But if you let it grow, you will have a multi-crowned plant, and it will be...
It loses its symmetry.
It loses its symmetry. It forgets to flower some of the time because it's busy propagating itself with a side shoot.
I know how it feels.
And and so the easiest way is just a blunt pencil, just to carefully dig that out so that you're not going to get a multi-crowned plant.
Okay, can you transplant that?
If it's big enough, and sometimes I've been negligent and they've been big enough to do that, and I've got another little tiny pointed knife that I can dig them out. But if it's something that I really want, I'd wait till it got to a decent size.
So an inch and a half.
And then you can just put it in some potting mix in a little terrarium type thing, and not too wet. Otherwise it might rot, but it will grow its own roots very quickly.
Oh, exciting. Okay, so that's an easy option for
me. Or the other thing is growing from leaf.
Which seems much more difficult.
We take a leaf cutting, and from the stem I cut it off at about 45 degree angle, so that from that little cut you will first of all get the roots, and then the little plantlet will come up.
That's
from that.
Interesting, isn't it? A little bit like a succulent, where you've taken one leaf and then the entire plant regrows.
That's
from the
right.
end of the
and
stalk.
So once it's got some little roots, it will then start to shoot. Winter's not a good time. I mean, I do things whenever I've got time, so winter is, if I need to, I do it in winter. But summer is much better time for growing from leaves because it is warmer. And it could take 6 to 8 weeks before you see something coming through. But if the leaf hasn't died, well, it's still alive. It's doing something.
It's
producing
some little
roots.
And you've stuck the end of the leaf stem
not too far into your potting mix.
About
because
centimetre?
The little plantlet has to grow up from that. And they'll be long and spindly if
kind
you put
want
it down too far.
Yeah.
So, it's about a centimetre in.
So at the association, do you guys swap plants a lot? Or?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so that's why really you're...
Oh, yes. We don't believe in hanging on to something yourself. If I've got something, I like to share it, because if I lose it, I can get it back from someone else, and we share a lot.
Oh, that's so gorgeous.
Yes.
Okay, so the African Violet, your association, you meet at Burwood RSL on the second Monday of every month from February to November.
Yes.
How many people in that little club?
We have about 30 coming to the meetings. I think we've got a current membership of 126.
Yeah.
A lot of people come from the country, and we have a little magazine that comes out 4 times a year. So people can get some information from that.
Way to get the fertiliser and
that's
maybe
right.
to
and
come
at
and
our
get
show
some
we
advice.
Sell, that's right. At our show we sell plants and fertiliser and potting mix and pots and
yeah, because you
things.
Can't these specialist plants need specialist advice and specialist fertiliser that you're probably not going to pick up at the local hardware store. All right, so for me, I would like to come to the African Violet Show. Can you tell me a little bit about the show coming up?
Yes, well, we used to have a 2-day show, but we've cut it down to 1 day now because we have fewer members who are growing plants. And they all sold out in 1 day.
Oh,
so unfortunately,
there wasn't anything.
It's the 1 day. But anyhow, we have it on the Saturday at the Burwood RSL in 4 of the function rooms. We've got plants on that may be for sale that are on the show bench, and you can pick them up later that afternoon at 4 o'clock. But we also have a big sales table where
so
we have
exciting.
Plants. And we've got a supply table where you can buy the pots, potting mix, fertiliser and all of that. And so that's it, 10 till 4 on Saturday the 2nd of November.
And is that an annual event?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Beautiful.
Around about that time. It depends on the club as to what weekend we can have because they have functions sometimes.
Yeah. So Burwood RSL, which is Shaftesbury Road.
Shaftesbury Road.
$5 to get in.
Yes.
Sounds like an absolute brain's trust of information once you're in there. And, of course, you can grab the potting mix and the fertiliser, which
correct.
I think is an excellent thing. So that's wonderful. So when... is there a little website or Facebook page that we can get
we
onto?
We are on Facebook, African Violet Association. The web page is africanviolet.org.au, I think.
Yes,
to that.
Oh, that's right. We can any search will find you.
Yes.
Wonderful. Any other little tips that you're going to leave us with? So I think 1 meter away from the wall is good. And, okay, so just heat. I'm just thinking of the heater in the room. What about the heat situation?
If they're not
in
keen on drafts.
Okay.
They're not keen on being too close to a heater. But if you do have them in a room with a heater, a little bit of a light mist of water.
So I would never have misted, so you're saying that's okay?
It sort of helps to keep them a bit cooler if they're a bit warm.
Okay.
So a little bit of misting is good.
So I've got the mister already there because I'm misting all the other tropical plants because I do think the heater
takes. Happy with that.
So they would be happy with that. Wow.
But also keeping the leaves clean because mainly they breathe from underneath, but they're also little spores on the top where they can breathe. And so if you get a little pastry brush and you brush from the centre out, because that's the way the little hairs go, you can clean those leaves and keep the... the leaves clean and they can breathe better.
Yeah,
because we dust our furniture, but we don't always think of our plants, do we?
Well, we don't, and most of mine go into the shower for a big shower, warm shower they get once, every 2 weeks, and that warm shower they get, and that fills up all the little holes in their potting mix, and it gets all the dust off them. But you're right, our homes are super dusty and they're very dry.
That's right.
Either the heater or the air conditioner is on, and so it's quite arid in our homes. So that little mister, I've got little misters everywhere, and when I'm away on tour, we've traveled to Italy together, haven't we? You,
Japan.
Me and Rog, and Japan, just only a year or two ago. So when I'm away, I make sure that the kids do a little bit of misting for me. That's their special job.
Yes.
So, okay, we can still mist it. Well, that's fantastic. I'm very much looking forward to you coming to our Garden Clinic Cake and Cutting Day. That's October the
19th.
Thank you very much. And so you're going to give a little masterclass on African violets for Garden Clinic members.
A little bit on how to put down a leaf and how to pot on a plant. And I'll have a lot of leaves to give away.
Oh, you're adorable. Would you be able to get some fertiliser to sell?
Oh, I could do.
Little box,
I could
maybe,
do.
For those
could
who
do.
Would like to get special fertiliser.
Mm-hmm.
Me
could
included.
Do that. Could do that.
Well, I look forward to seeing you back there, and thank you so much for giving us such an insight in such a pretty little flowering indoor plant. Delighted to have your company, and thanks for making such an effort.
Thank you for allowing me to share my favourite hobby with you.
Well, you've been an absolute treasure trove of information. Give my love to Rog.
Thank you.
And we'll catch up at the Cake and Cutting Day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Linda.
Well, wasn't that fun? I certainly learnt a lot about African violets and what I need to be doing better to keep them flowering. I'm Linda Ross. This is the Garden Clinic Digs Deeper podcast. I'm a landscape architect. If you like what you hear, just like the podcast and don't forget to give me a 5-star rating on iTunes because it really helps other gardeners find the podcast. If you've got a question, it's super easy. Head over to the Garden Clinic Facebook page or the Linda Ross Facebook page or to the African Violet Facebook page and we'll talk to you there. Thanks so much for your company today. Happy gardening.